Webster's Dictionary defines compliance as the action or fact of complying with a wish or command. This is The Compliance Guide.
The Compliance Guide.
As a healthcare provider or healthcare professional, navigating the muddy waters of compliance can get tricky.
And that's why we're here.
Helping you mitigate risk while increasing your profitability. This is The Compliance Guide. Now, here's your host, Sean Weiss.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of The Compliance Guy. As always, I want to start by saying thank you all for tuning in, logging on, and just hanging out with me for a little while. It is Tuesday, January 23rd in 2024, and that means it is time for a hashtag Terry Tuesday episode with my good friend Terry Fletcher. How are you, my friend?
Good morning. I'm good. We actually have a lot of rain here today, so we need it. So it's a nice cold January day.
There you go. And the rain is making its way east because I know here in Georgia where I'm at, we're going to be hit pretty hard Tuesday through, they're saying now, possibly Saturday, rain each and every single day. So hoping that's not the case. Would like some good rain, but not five straight days of rain.
That's tough for sure.
Speaking of cloudy, dark, and problematic,
yeah,
our topic today fits that description pretty well. So we're going to talk about one of our all-time favorites, cloning. So Terry, why don't you lead the discussion and we'll kind of see where it takes us.
Well, the reason I called you my husband. See where I've been doing? The reason Sean and I wanted to bring this back to everyone is because you would think that record cloning and cloned notes and this identical cut and paste thing would have gone by the wayside years ago after OIG and CMS and AHIMA and all these different, you know, people that are in authoritative positions had said, knock it off. And we knew this was happening because of, you know, electronic health records, electronic medical records. You know, you can't help yourself with a cut and paste. But we have some issues because, first of all, what is cloning? So it refers to documentation that's worded exactly like a previous entry. It's also referred to as cut and paste, copy and paste, or carried forward. It can be handwritten, but generally it's when pre-printed templates are being pulled through the record. And the provider for today's visit is saying that they actually provided that documentation when we know that they really didn't. And, you know, the problem is then they call it promoting interoperability through electronic records. The problem with this is the fact that when you pull information through and it's not checked and it's not, you know, looked at for verification, and we know that's not happening, it's a problem, especially if you go from an in-person visit to a telehealth visit. And I know Sean's seeing this, but in my audits, I'm seeing exams from an in-person visit being pulled through for a telehealth visit that couldn't possibly be done virtually. But the other thing that is a really big deal, and Sean and I talk about this a lot, clone documentation does not meet medical necessity requirements for coverage services. And I'm looking at something right now from Palmetto Medicare, and they said identification of this type of documentation will lead to denials of services for lack of medical necessity, and we will recoup all overpayments made, because you're basically inserting false or irrelevant information and creating the appearance of support for billing higher levels of service by either clicking a box and pulling it through for something that actually wasn't done. And so before I send it over to you, Sean, remember, I think it was in 2021, might've been late 2020, where CMS came out and said, well, ancillary staff now can help with the history. And so what do they know that happened, you know, from the last visit or in the interim, if they weren't, that wasn't the medical assistant that was there. And so they're just pulling through information to make it look like a complete record without it being an accurate record. And it's becoming a problem. And I actually had one group say, well, that just is for identical services. And I said, no, look at Noridian. They say similar, even if it looks similar, like, you know, you're just changing a couple of words here and there. It's almost like, I think you call it plagiarizing a record, medical plagiarism or something. And
yeah,
so
kind of plagiarism, but we could, yeah, we could define those further, but
yeah,
you know, here's the thing. And you know, I've had a lot of opportunity to address this issue during federal criminal and civil trials, especially the last two that I engaged in 2023, where one of the big arguments that the prosecutors made in those cases is that the documentation was identical from encounter to encounter. But the fact of the matter is only portions of the medical record had some identical characteristics. And I think it's really important to kind of segregate these just a little bit, right? Because I think it's important to address both chronic patients versus acute patients. Now, being lazy and simply cutting and pasting and carrying forward information for the sake of, you know, ballooning a note to make it look like you did something more than what you actually did is never a good thing. It's never the right way to document. But when you have patients who are chronically ill, and I'm going to use some examples, pain management, right? Orthopedics, cardiology. A lot of these patients have these ongoing chronic problems for years. And unless there's some kind of life-altering situation, unless they have an adverse event or they have a breakthrough in their treatment, they're going to be static in many areas, right? So, for example, in an examination, in my opinion, and again, a lot of this, Terry, and I think you would agree, a lot of this is very subjective, right? Which is the way that the payers want it, because it allows them to create a narrative to fit a potential crime or allegation. For me, if a provider at each visit is genuinely doing a physical exam, and that physical exam consists of gait and station, flexion extension, range of motion, palpation of the affected area or areas, and the patient is a chronic pain patient, we're not going to see dynamic changes from encounter to encounter. It may say normal gait and station, or it may say off balance and heavy right gait, or, you know, limited flexion extension, you know, to 5 degrees, or rotation to, you know, 8 degrees, or whatever it is. And you're not really seeing anything that differs, right? Because there's only so many ways you could say normal mood and effect. You know, there's only so many ways you could say, you know, patients in no acute apparent distress. Now, if you are simply grabbing that information and you're like, oh, it's just going to be the same, and you throw it in there, that's cloning. That's cutting and pasting, and I have a problem with that. But if the doctor or the PA or nurse practitioner actually legitimately going through the motions and it just happens to be the same exam, I can't call that cloning. And that was one of the arguments that I made. Now, here's where the two cases went sideways for the prosecutors. And I know what you were saying about having similar documentation where the payer says they're going to recoup. But I think that's just, in my humble opinion, just over aggressive. And I think that's extremely bad form to say, if it's similar, we're going to recoup the money. That's just in bad form, in my opinion. Now, the part that hurt prosecutors in these last two cases was they only showed the specific areas that they said were identical. And I said, you are correct. That language right there is identical. But let me show you why this is not cloned. Well, of course, the prosecutor did not want to play that game. And of course, they said, no, we're talking about this. And I said, no, you're only showing an excerpt of the note. We need to look at the entirety of the progress note, because there are significant differences from encounter to encounter, which is why these are not clone notes. And, you know, they didn't want to do it. You know, defense counsel objected. The judge sustained it, and the prosecutors had to pull up the entire note and put them side by side. And I said, now look, the history of present illness says this on this date of service. The very next date of service, it does not say the same thing. You go to the plan of care. On this date of service, here's what it says. On this date of service, the doctor has actually decreased one of the medications, taken them off of a medication, and started two new medications, ordered labs, and ordered an MRI. These are not cloned notes. So even though you're looking at the objective portion of the evaluation, and it is identical, you have to understand that this is a chronic pain patient where you're just not going to see dynamic changes from visit to visit. So, you know, I agree with you, Terry, and I've you and I have always agreed on this. Cloning is bad, okay? Simple cutting and pasting for the purposes of somebody being lazy just to be able to build up a level of service to a higher remuneration is wrong. But we also have to take a look at the note as a whole before we accuse somebody of doing wrong. Now, one of the last thing that I'll say, and then I'll shoot it back over to you. For me, I have no problem with a provider cutting and pasting and carrying forward information as long as there's a disclaimer that this note contains information from a prior visit or visits. It is used for informational purposes only and is not taken into consideration for the overall level of visit today, because it helps to keep providers moving, especially, you know, providers where they're seeing 30, 40, 50 patients a day, you know, having to go back and scroll through four or five dates of prior visits to understand what transpired when there could easily be a carry forward portion with that disclaimer for that section where the provider gets a snapshot of what they did at the last visit or visits. And then from there, they've set the tone for an auditor to say, listen, I'm telling you up front, I've carried forward information, but I'm doing that for my own edification, for my own ability to keep patient flow moving. But I'm not counting it towards my overall level of visit today. So I'll stop there because I know I said a whole lot. So I'd love to hear some of your thoughts and feedback on that.
Well, I agree with probably 70% of that. So I'm going to be a little devil's advocate here, which is why it's good that we do this. Because as a payer auditor, as well as a physician auditor, and trying to make sure that physicians don't get into the trap of auto-populating fields, that's where I have a real hard time where, you know, you open the record and it already has the exam in there. It already has the history in there. I was reading a record recently and then they sent me a record that was maybe a month after and I saw it, wait, that's still in there. And it was just this simple sentence that said the patient was stressed out because she had 15 people for Thanksgiving that she had to cook for and she was like 82. Well, then I went back and I said, you know, I need to go back and take a look at something because all of a sudden I'm like, I remember hearing that or seeing that, reading that in a previous note. It was in every note from October that she was stressed out all the way through now 2024. And I'm just like, there's certain things that, you know, when they say, well, as long as a doctor has verified that they have updated it or it's not, you know, the same thing. And I don't see any of that. I don't see it verified. I don't see, you know, for example, delineation of, well, this exam was on January 1st, but you know, today this is, you know, and then an entry for today's date so that you can see that it's not the same. But, and then the other thing, and this is where I guess I would strongly disagree with your assessment on clone notes is behavioral health. Even though those patients are have very similar situations and occurrences. Behavioral health and mental health, now that it's so widely accepted and paid for, and as you've seen from the OIG, it's also been bad actors that are trying to, you know, hone in saying I'm a practitioner when we know they're not. I think that's dangerous. I mean, a patient, as far as their distress level, how they're feeling, And today versus last week, there's going to be just slight changes there. And the physicians have to make sure that those slight changes are noted. So in the behavioral health mode, I disagree that it has to be today's visit and cutting and pasting and cloned and bringing through is a bad idea. It's just not.
And that's why I didn't even touch behavioral health.
Yeah.
Because behavioral health is its own animal, right?
It's its own entity, its own, own animal basically. And providers that are doing it all the way from primary care, because I know you're in that field now and that, in that specialty, to the actual behavioral and mental health providers, you know that, you know, things can change from a patient from day to day. And you have to be so careful from saying things are the same because we could lose our coverages. You know, it's such a subjective medicine.
Yep.
And, you know, it's just what a provider thinks. It's not something that can be necessarily proven with labs and diagnostics and all that. Some things, yes. But some things, it's just based on appearance. It's based on discussions. It's just based on today's, you know, encounter on and what happened with that patient. Now, and going back to like, you know, medical specialties, more of surgery and things like that, where I'm having a problem with the clone notes is the fact that providers, especially on a not post-op visit, but let's say a post-surgical visit that's outside the post-op time so that you can actually get paid for it, they will cut and paste and bring things forward that were prior to surgery. They don't realize you have to show that the patient either got better or recovered or had some kind of response to the surgery. I'm looking at oncology notes, which is a perfect example of what you said. You know, patients are under surveillance, they're on chemo, radiation, and their notes aren't going to change very much when they monitor the patient. They're monitoring their levels and making sure that they're not getting toxic levels of the radiation and that they're able to tolerate it. And, you know, everything else is okay. In conjunction probably with their primary care. And so a lot of the notes are going to look very similar. But what I look for is I look to make sure that when they show that they're having a discussion with the patient or the HPI, even though we don't count it to level, we do count it for medical necessity. I look to make sure that it's not completely cut and pasted verbatim from the previous visit and the previous visit before that. Because Sean, I know you've seen that. And as much as I know you're in defense of physicians and we need you and appreciate that, if you see something like that, there's no defense there for verbatim from, you know, visits back and back, right?
Yes, I agree with you 100%. And I think that's why, you know, when I started talking about, you know, specialties, I focused on specialties like pain, orthopedics, cardiology, and not looking at specialties like behavioral health or addiction medicine or those where even the slightest of change could, you know, have some kind of impact. I'm talking about those patients where there's nothing that has transpired that is going to rise to a level of any change in their presentation for the providers.
What I notice that providers don't understand the difference between volume of documentation and medical necessity of context of what you say.
Yeah.
It's like, how many times have you and I seen pages and pages of nothing? We're reading through it and we're like, okay, where is your, you know, chief complaint here? What are you exactly treating? Because I haven't seen anything that's told me that. And then I've seen a note that's been maybe a half a page that's beautiful. Then I'm just like, you know what? This is actually a level four and it's hardly anything written, but it's to the point. So sometimes I think the cut and paste can get you into trouble because I think providers sometimes think that having a, you know, a novel gets you that higher level of service just because you can populate all those fields. When that's not what we're looking for, not just from a, you know, an auditing perspective on offense like myself before you get into trouble, but also I would think, Sean, on the defensive side, when you're going through records before you're going to stand up in front of a judge with your credibility and say, I'm going to defend you, but I need to see what you did first, because I know you don't always want to find loopholes or federal registers and things like that. You want to be like,
yeah,
okay, let's make sure we can lay out something showing that you're not trying to get around it.
Right. Yeah. And I am not somebody who, you know, listen, I'm not somebody who's simply going to look for loopholes. I don't do that. What I try to do is be a reasonable, cerebral thinker when it comes to this stuff.
We're both advocates for physicians, but we absolutely have to also live in reality.
Yeah. Well, listen, chapter 12 of the Program Integrity Manual 30.6.1 specifically says the volume of documentation should not be the driver behind the level of service. It should be based on the medical necessity as the overarching criteria. So for me, though, it is hard as somebody who has shadowed thousands of physicians in my career. And I literally have, when I tell you thousands, I've spent time in the operating theaters. I've spent time in the ED, in the units, on the floors, in physician practices, following providers, watching how they do things, seeing, you know, how they form these habits, how others, vary from those depending on the circumstances. So, for me, it's not a one size fits all, which is why I can't sit there in good faith and say, yeah, because there's similar documentation or identical documentation in a single aspect of a medical record, that it rises to the level of cloning. I just, in good faith, I can't do that. But I will continue to caution providers that simply cutting and pasting and throwing things into your documentation from one encounter to another without really validating that's the accurate information for that encounter is bad form.
Well, and let's also remember that you know, the doctors aren't all the only one in the record. So when you've got the ancillary staff, the mid-level providers, the front desk, everyone that's trying to gather information, whether it be for prior authorization for services or whether it would be, you know, for the next visit and what it has to be scheduled, you have so many hands in the cookie jar that you have to make sure that the providers know it's still on you. Regardless of who's touching the record, it's still on you. So, you know, just like the football game we were talking about, you can't say, well, the kicker went right wide right, so it's the kicker's fault. No. You're the one that is basically in charge of this record. And so you have to be the one to verify, to make sure that if you are pulling information through, this is something I do agree with Sean with, that if it's similar, because things really haven't changed, and that's why we have EMR and templates to make things a little easier in time, because documentation is such a time suck, it's supposed to make it a little bit easier for you and streamline with our workflows. But it is up to you as a provider, whether you be a physician, whether you are a practitioner, whether you are a mid-level provider, to verify that today this is accurate. So even if you are going to pull through or template information, God forbid you're auto-populating, but you have to really understand how that will affect the patient. And again, because so many people are in the record, remember, they're going to read that record and not go back a day. They're not auditing the record. They're just saying, okay, so this is what's happening today. And what happens if that isn't what you address today? And just to put icing on this cake, which is going to be a terrible thing to say, but it's really important. And Sean and I don't work, well, I don't work in the HCC space with Medicare Advantage and hierarchy codes and all that. But I'm sure, Sean, just like I have, you and I see the OIG are constantly on Medicare Advantage companies. We're saying that this was in the record as an active diagnosis, but nowhere was the physician treating it in today's visit. So you can't get credit for that. So when those kinds of things are also pulled through, you got a problem. And what about medications? You're saying the patient still has it. How many records have you looked at? I know I've looked at thousands that say the patient's still on a medication and they're not.
That's right. Because they don't clean up. They don't clean up.
That's a good way to put it. They don't clean it up.
Yep. Listen, cloning is unfortunately not a topic that you and I are going to come up with a treatment for. I think this is one of these things that, you know, if a provider and we're seeing more and more providers get tagged by the payers, by their auditors, by the third party auditing agencies like the UPICs and the SMRCs and the RACs, excuse me, who are picking on cloning more and more, I think it's going to be interesting for providers to figure out how they explain things. I know they don't want to have more information in their medical records than what they're already having to put in there. I hear it every single day. How much more can I put in here? For those who are just pointing and clicking, you got to use the free text tabs in your documentation, because that's what's going to help your note stand alone. That's what's going to help it stand apart from prior encounters. I will tell you, and I mean this with the utmost sincerity, we are the 23rd of January right now. I came back to work on the 3rd. Starting on the 3rd, up until just last Friday, I've had 11 different law firms reach out to me with cases for litigation in 2024. They are all tied to a variety of services, but it's all tied to medical necessity. It's tied to documentation or lack thereof. So providers, you've got to be more thoughtful. You've got to be more diligent, and you've got to be more accurate and complete with what resides in a progress note for a given date of service. Simply carrying forward a problem list that hasn't been cleaned up in the last 10 years or a medication list that hasn't been cleaned up in the last 6 years is not accurate medical record documentation. That leads to malpractice issues. That leads to allegations of fraud, waste, and abuse. And it just doesn't give patients who get copies of their medical records that warm and fuzzy feeling that their doctors are really taking care of them to the degree that they would expect them to. Right. Again, remember.
And my last comment on this is, you know, you mentioned something interesting. So Sean's been dealing with all of these requests for litigation. I've been dealing with a bunch of requests from payers. And now I'm really happy. I mean, I obviously do audits for physicians as well, but I'm seeing more of that, trying to basically be proactive. You know, just do an audit within your practice. Both of us are available for that. Make sure that you know if somebody is going to see that clone note, if you could be an audit risk. And I'm sorry, but deliberate ignorance is not a defense here. You have to know what's going on with your practice, and providers and physicians out there, you're busy. So get an external audit. I know some of you do it internally, and I appreciate that. But, and I want to say this with respect, a lot of the employees that are doing your internal audits, and God love them because it's a hard job, they also don't want to lose their job. And so sometimes it's not always forthright as far as what is exactly going on. Knowing physician personality sometimes can be like, well, that's not right. It's like, well, we don't have a stake in your office. And I'm not just saying Sean, or I get a trusted external person and basically say, I need to take a look and do like a focused audit. Just get a valid sample. Say, are my 99214s or 215s appropriate? Does it look like clone noning? Is there anything that I could do to clean it up? You know, and so it just will give you peace of mind. And you have that then in your back pocket should a lawsuit come knocking at your door, or even a TPE audit, a UPIC audit, any of those things, a CERT audit, which is just statistical. But they are looking because the government spends so much money and then they want to take it back. And so, everyone's a target. So, but that's the end for me today. I just want everyone to be aware that clone notes has all kinds of different variances to it. And if you are going to utilize your EMR in that kind of way, you're going to have some safeguards, and you're going to have to do something to find out, first of all, are you at risk? And if you are, then deal with that.
Great feedback, great topic. And I'm glad I got to share these 30 minutes with you, my friend.
Ditto.
All right. So that's going to wrap up this episode of our hashtag Terry Tuesday on the Compliance Guy. As always, thank you all so much for tuning in, logging on, and hanging out with Terry and I for a little while. We will be back next week with another great episode. So until then, remember, be good to yourself, but more importantly, y'all be good to each other. Take care.
you've been listening to The Compliance Guy. Sean has been doing this for 28 years. He holds 10 national board certifications. He's a partner and the vice president of compliance for Doctors Management, LLC. He's a subject matter expert in federal court. He's lectured at the most prestigious institutions. He's engaged with members of Congress in both chambers. So what we're saying is he's qualified? We hope you've enjoyed the show. Make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, you can find us on social media at The Compliance Guy. See you next time on The Compliance Guy.